have your Bibles this morning, will you turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah? I would like to direct your attention to two verses there, Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 10 and 11. Would you stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God? Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, very, very familiar. Here's what it says. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. Amen. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I am sure that Pastor and Mrs. Lush and June remember very well many of the pictures that they saw on the screen just a moment ago, because they were places that they visited and were very much a part of. And I am very aware this morning, like in no other church, that what I'm going to say at parts has already been said in this church. I'm sure it's been reported to you, but now you're going to hear the other side. And I want to tell you some of the things that they perhaps have already shared, but from my perspective, as we saw it and as God moved in that part of the world. Let me begin this morning by simply saying that in December I was in Russia. A very tremendously successful trip, but very cold. The wind chill was minus 40 degrees. I mean, that's cold in anybody's language, especially when you have to walk, as I did on so many occasions. But you know, the amazing thing was, it did not affect the attendance, as far as I could see, at the Sharashango Church where I ministered. The church was filled to capacity in Moscow with dozens of people standing for the service. Now, when you realize that well over 90% of the people in Moscow have to walk or take public transit, and you've got minus 40 degree weather, you know there's commitment. And these people, dozens of them, stood for the service that lasted approximately 3.5 hours, and not a whimper. I go to churches where they tell me that, you know, at 12 o'clock, if you're not done, people start to leave. I know that would never happen in the temple of prayer and praise. But nevertheless, 3.5 hours, they stood and worshiped the Lord. And this particular church in Moscow has been a vital part of our Bible ministry in Russia and continues today. They have, over the years, literally, personally, distributed tens of thousands of Bibles to people in Russia. And we thank God for them and what they are doing. But things in Russia are very different than things here. The democracy that they enjoy is quite different as well. I think of just a matter of going to that part of the world and gaining entrance. I go across the Canada-US border on an average of once a week. I have one of those Nexus cards. Some of you will know the Nexus card that allows you to avoid the lineup. And I don't wait at the border anymore. The last time I went, which was last weekend, and I'll be going that way next weekend, I went up to the border, and they asked me, "You're a resident of what country?" I said, "Canada." They said, "Goodbye." On the way back, they just waved at me as I went through. It's marvelous. But when you go to Russia, it's a different thing. First of all, you have to have a passport. Now, that's all that's required when you go to Bulgaria. It's so easy these days. It wasn't a few years ago. But you have to have a passport first, and then, of course, you have to have a special visa. But before you can get a visa, you have to have an official invitation from one of the organizations in Russia. But before you can get the invitation, you have to register at a hotel and have your accommodation paid for. So that's where you start. You get your registration and you pay for it. And then you apply for an official invitation. And then if they want to give it to you, they do. And then when you have that, you go and you apply for your visa. Now, when you get your visa, they want to know everything about you. Not only such things as your name and address and phone number and social security number and all of the rest of it. They want to know, first of all, have you ever visited Russia before? How many times? When was the last time you visited Russia? Why are you going to Russia? Who are you going to visit in Russia? What organizations are you going to visit in Russia? How are you going to travel? Where are you going to travel? Where are you going to stay? And on it goes, every detail of your life. So in other words, they want to know. You spilt the water, Pastor. They want to know exactly where. Well, boy, I'll tell you. Would you build a larger platform for me? Thank you very much. They want to know exactly where you're going to be every night. And they just keep their finger on you all the time. Well, it's different. Well, then you get to the hotel. Or before you get to the hotel, when you land there at immigration, they have you fill out a form. And they do it in duplicate, and then they tear it in half. One is your entrance to get in, and they stamp the other one, and that's to get out. Now, if you lose that form, you might be spending the rest of your life in Siberia. And so you hold on to that. You go to the hotel, and first of all, they want to take a photostat of your passport, then a photostat of your visa, then a photostat of your admission exit slip. Then they give you the key for the room and the key for the safety deposit box, because I'm carrying a lot of money, because I'm giving it to the pastors and what have you for Bibles and everything else. And then they have the suitcase, and I'm loaded down. I get into my room on the 10th floor, and the next morning I wake up and realize I haven't got my exit visa. Oh, my. I think to myself, I'm going to be spending the rest of my life in Siberia. I'll never see my wife on Valentine's Day. I'll never be at the Temple of Praise on February the 14th. I'll never see Pastor Lush again. Unless, would you come and visit me somewhere in Siberia? Yes, you would. Okay. Anyway. And so I was really concerned. I phoned down to the registration office, and I said, you didn't give me back my exit form when I gave it to you. Well, they couldn't understand me. They don't understand much English. I don't understand much Russian, and we are in a dilemma. And I kept saying to them, the paper, you never give me my paper. I don't have the paper. And at last she said to me, we'll send somebody up. Oh, I thought they found the paper. There's no problem. And so there was a knock at the door in a moment. Now, I don't open the door in Russia unless I know who it is. That's not a good procedure. But I knew they were sending somebody up, so I opened the door expecting to see this, you know, young lady from the registration desk. But instead of that, I saw this housekeeper dressed in green. Pastor, she was monstrous. Oh, was she big? I thought to myself, I do not want to tangle with this woman. But I looked at her, and she didn't have the paper in her hand. And I said to her, do you have the paper? And she looked at me. She couldn't understand Russian. Oh, we're in a pickle. I looked at her, and we stood there at the doorway like two dummies looking at each other. I wasn't going to touch her. I mean, she was a big woman. But after a while, I mean, she was, you know, she was the kind of woman that could have been the fullback for the national Russian football team. That's the kind of woman she was. And all of a sudden, she took a plunge by me, looked like a football player, and between me and the door, and headed into the washroom. I thought, what on earth is she doing in my washroom? And so she got in there, and she looked in the washroom, and then she looked back at me with a grin on her face, and she looked at the washroom, she looked and back and forth. I thought, what is she looking at? So I moved over so I could see, and I saw that this woman was staring at my toilet paper. And then it came to me. When I said I had no paper, they thought I had no toilet paper. And she was saying to herself, I'm sure, this guy has got 3/4 of a roll of toilet paper. How much does one guy need anyway? Well, anyway, I couldn't say anything to her. She just stood there and looked at me, and I looked at her. So at last I thought, well, to break this trance, I'll go over and phone. So I went over, and I phoned downstairs, and I said, there's been a misunderstanding. I'll be right down. And that was fine. But she didn't move, this great, big, monstrous woman. She just stood there. But after a while, she went over to the phone, And I don't know what she said. All I could hear on this end was da, 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 da. That was yes, 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 yes. And with that, this woman took a dash to the door. I mean, she didn't say goodbye to me, Pastor. She didn't say it was nice to meet you. She didn't even say, I'm glad you got toilet paper. She just took off and left me there by myself. Well, I went down to the registration desk, and they said, we don't have your paper. I said, how on earth am I going to get out of this country? They said, well, what we can do is we can make you a photocopy of the photocopy of the paper. I said, well, immigration in Russia, I mean, you know how strict they are over there. They're never going to accept that. Well, he said, we don't have anything else. So they made me a copy of the paper. And I took scissors, and I cut all around that paper. Exactly, I did it myself because I wanted to be perfect. And so it was the very same size. I thought maybe it'll get through. A marvelous photocopy, I might say. And, you know, I was a little bit concerned about this. I thought, I'm not going to get to Napanee after all this year. It's going to be one of those years. Anyhow, in the end, when I was leaving the country, I had my passport, and I had my visa, and I had another paper stamped by the hotel to say that I stayed there. And then this exit paper, I shoved it in the middle so they wouldn't see it, you know. Well, anyway, they pulled it out, and I stood there with my head bowed, you know, like I was praying. And all of a sudden, you know, I waited and waited. All of a sudden, I heard bang, 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 bang. And I knew I was going home because that meant they were stamping all of my paper. And he said, you can go. And I thought, I'm on my way to America. No longer in Siberia will I stay. And away I went. Well, such is life in that part of the world. It's so different than it is here. But thank God for what he's doing in Russia and Eastern Europe today. Let me just take a moment to go back a few years to 1917. Just take a moment. You remember in 1917 when the communists invaded the former Soviet Union and seized control of the government. You remember Lenin, that godless dictator, how he declared, not a single house of prayer shall remain in the territory of the USSR. And the very concept of God must be eliminated from the minds and the hearts of the people. Following him was ruthless Stalin. Stalin declared, there is no God, and shook his fist in the very face of heaven. And in the next 19 years, Stalin and Lenin closed 77,500 churches, leaving over only 500 churches in all of the Soviet Union. And of the 500 churches, not one of them was an evangelical Christian church. It was a sad day in that part of the world. I mean, those were the days when Russia was closed totally to the gospel, when Christianity was illegal, when Bibles were banned and burned publicly, when pastors and believers were martyred for their faith, when Christians lived in terror of the KGB, a horrific day in their history. 70 years of godless, atheistic communism has produced a tremendous moral vacuum in Russia and the communist bloc countries, so that today 40% of the men are alcoholics. The average woman has a multiplicity of abortions, some as many as 15. 85% of the young people under 16 are into hard liquor. Suicide, it's the highest in the world in Russia. They are facing some societal ills that has just taken over their country. A sad situation. Well, it was in light of this, the dilemma that they're facing morally, because it is so severe in Russia and Eastern Europe that it caused the authorities to scramble to find a solution. And here's the amazing thing. I don't know whether you've heard this or not, but this is amazing. because of the severity of immorality in Russia and Eastern Europe, to somehow counter all of this, the Department of Education and Science for Russia and the Ukraine have adopted the Bible, if you can believe this, the Bible as their textbook and their standard for moral behavior. Can you say amen? Praise God. That's amazing. This former atheistic, godless, communist country or countries. But not only that, they have also authorized a foundation by the name of the Kindness Foundation, based in Russia, to promote and develop the Christian values and biblical principles for all of their schools from kindergarten right through to university. And furthermore, this foundation has decided that it is going to attempt to provide at least 10 Bibles for every school in Russia and the Ukraine. Can you say amen? Praise God. A tremendous breakthrough. And then to add to all of that is the fact that the leaders of this Kindness Foundation that's responsible for all of this are two doctors by the name of Dr. Fred and Dr. Olga Lutsenko, who are born-again, Bible-believing Christians. Praise God. And here's the irony of the whole thing. You see, Fred's father was a gospel preacher. And Fred's father was put in jail for preaching the Word of God. And now the same country has commissioned Fred to lead an effort to put Bibles in every school. Praise God. We rejoice at what God is doing in that part of the world. Now I want to conclude this section by simply saying that this does not mean by any means that Russia and the Ukraine are embracing the Christian faith or the principles of Christ. But the fact is, as I've already said and will probably say again, only eternity will reveal what has been accomplished by young people being exposed to the powerful, inspired Word of God. My Word, we read it, will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please and I intended to accomplish. Praise be the name of the Lord. Although this morning we are thankful to God for the fact that Russia and Eastern Europe are recognizing the Scriptures, we must also readily acknowledge that the vast majority of people in Russia and the Ukraine and Eastern Europe have never had a New Testament, never mind a full Bible. They need the Word of God. But we thank God for what He has done. I was at the largest Bible printer in Russia while I was there in December, Institute for Bible Translation. We've worked with them for many, many years and have cooperated with them in producing and translating and printing many Bibles in various languages. And we sat down with the directors, the doctors that were there, and we're talking about the tremendous need for the Word of God in the former Soviet Union, now called the New Soviet, and how today there are 100 languages without even a New Testament. And we're right now at this moment, we are cooperating with them in the translating and the printing of a New Testament in the Bashkir language. You've probably never heard of it. But there are some 2 million people that speak Bashkir. It's a small language. But why should it be that 2 million people don't have a copy even of the New Testament? Let me put that in relative terms. Do you realize that there are more people that speak Bashkir than there are residents in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland? You realize there are more people that speak Bashkir than there are that live in metropolitan Ottawa and Gatineau, Cornwall, Brockville, Kingston, Colburn, Oshawa, and Napanee. Can you imagine all of those places without even a New Testament? Can you imagine Napanee without a New Testament? Why should we have two Bibles when they can't even get one? Well, with God's help, this year, 2010, we're going to print the New Testament in the Bashkir language. It's only one language of 100. We can't do everything. You can't do everything, but we can do something. And by the help of God, we're going to produce a New Testament in the Bashkir language. Can you say amen? Praise God. I get so excited about this because what God is allowing us to do, and you're helping us. You're a vital part of what God is doing today in Russia and Bulgaria and Macedonia. Of course, the Bashkir translation is only one of the many Bible programs that we're involved in. We've got many. Of course, I don't need hardly to mention it, the Children's Bible. I mean, it's still so popular, the most popular Bible in Russia. And yet there's such a need for the Word of God. Last year, we, with your help, and people like you, contributed thousands of dollars to the printing of the Children's Bible. The study Bible for pastors that you know about, 700 pages of notes and aids and help for pastors who've had no formal Bible training. Again, tremendous support we have given to them over many, many years. And then the Roma Bible. Perhaps, I'm sure it is the greatest challenge that we've ever had as far as a Bible project, because we're doing it entirely on our own. These others have many, many people involved. But this project, the Roma or Gypsy Bible, is our project. We thought we'd be able to do it in a year or two. Now we realize it's going to take us 4 or 5 years. But our scholars and linguistic experts that are working on this Bible have told us that by the end of 2011, we will have a New Testament for the Gypsy people, and there are tens of millions of people that need that Bible. Again, you're helping us to print the Gypsy Bible. And in our missionary offering today, whatever you give is going to help our Bible ministry and that which we're involved in Russia and Eastern Europe. And if you want to designate money for a particular Bible or project, we will honor that designation 100%. And if someone would like to use Visa or the MasterCard, you can put it right the information there, and we'll receipt you for that gift, and it will go for our Bible ministry. Now let's change tracks for just a moment. Let me travel with you to Bulgaria and Macedonia, where your pastor and wife and June were with us just a very short time ago. And let me just share with you some of the experiences that we had there very, very briefly. But when we were in a place called Monokanari, we were going to have an open-air meeting. You will remember, we got there, and it was almost dark. We moved the pulpit outside in our PA system, and we just started to have a service. We didn't announce it. You don't have to over there. You just start. And within just a very few moments, we had literally hundreds of people gathered, most of them standing on the road. It was a side street, not many cars, so there wasn't a problem. Every once in a while, we had to move because of the car coming through. And what a service we had. And at the end of that service, when we gave the invitation, would you believe 100 people crossed the street to come to our homemade altar on the sidewalk there to give their lives to Jesus Christ? Can you say amen again? Praise God. Where do you see 100 people responding to an altar call outside of a Billy Graham crusade or such today? But it's happening in Russia and Eastern Europe without even announcing you're going to have a service. You say to me, Jim, you mean that 100 people came to Christ? I can be honest with you. I don't know if one person came to Christ. All I know is 100 people walked across the street and stood at our altar and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And come into my heart and life, we'll have to leave the rest of it with the Lord. That's His business. But what I really want to tell you is that after the service was over, we sat down with the pastor of the church, and he said to us, "Can you help us? We don't have one Bible in our church." Monocanary, Bulgaria. Pastor and Pat were there. June was there. No Bibles in the church. That was October. But because of our friends and partners across the country, today, 2010, 4 months later, every member of the church in Monocanary has a copy of the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. There are many communities like that. We can't do it for everybody. But because we can't do everything, we can do something. And we're doing it by the help and the grace of Almighty God. We went to a place by the name of Mikrovo. We had a Sunday school or a children's meeting there because we had a lady who sort of specialized in children's work. And we had a nice crowd, good response. But the interesting thing was, around the outside of the children were all of these adults that had come to see what was going on. And so we had the joy of going around and giving out New Testaments to all of these adults. And friends, I want to tell you, there wasn't one adult that rejected our gift of a Word of God, but rather eagerly recepted the Holy Scriptures. And it was very interesting because when we left there a couple of hours later, we still saw people standing on the street reading the Bible. Can you imagine? I haven't seen that in Napanee lately, have you? Someone standing on the street reading the Word of God? But it happened in Mikrovo just a few months ago when we were there. And then listen to this. A man came running up to your pastor, and he said to him, he said, "The owner of the tavern across the street wants to know if he can have a Bible." So what did we do? Pastor and I ran to the tavern. Did you know that? Pastor was in the tavern over there in Bulgaria. Oh, I shouldn't have shared that. You can come and live with me if they put you out. It's okay. We got room. I love this man and his wife. You've got a great pastor and his wife, I'll tell you. Anyway, amen. You got a bigger hand than I got for all my stories. Anyway, we were running over to the tavern. Yes, I don't go to the tavern usually, but when your pastor's there, I have to go with him to the tavern. And we went to the tavern and we gave the owner a Bible. In fact, I think you gave him the Bible. Did you? There you go. See, it wasn't me at all. It was him. And then there were others in the tavern that were drinking and smoking and carrying on, and they wanted a Bible too. So what did we do? We gave them Bibles. You say, well, was that the wisest thing to do? Give these ungodly people a copy of the Word of God? Listen, my friend, have you forgotten what we read a few moments ago? My word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I send it to do. Praise God. You know, I think of the KGB agent that persecuted believers, had an accident, was in a hospital, laying flat in his back. They gave him up to die. And someone came along, gave him a copy of the New Testament. Never been in a church in his life. He was a KGB agent. He was godless, atheistic, hated God and the church, persecuted believers, involved in putting them to death. But he began to read the Word of God, and there in that communist hospital room, through reading the Word of God, he found Jesus Christ as Savior, was converted and healed by the power of God, and today he is our lead pastor in Bulgaria, and we all know him as St. Christoph. Praise God, the power of the Word. Or what about the man, the evil man that was in penitentiary behind bars? Someone gave him a New Testament. His name was Concho Nedelshev. He came to Christ today. He's pastoring one of our churches. The power of the Word of God. And I want to tell you, friend, this morning, if we live so long and Jesus tarries, it well could be that we will see a Billy Graham arising in Bulgaria, and we'll find out he was in the tavern the day we were there. Only God knows the power of the Word of the living God. I think of my predecessor and how she tells a story of how the communists came into her particular community and took all the Bibles in every Christian home. When the congregation met on Sunday, it was a very sad day. There were no Bibles in the church. Even the pastor told how he lost his Bible. And then in the midst of this, a little grandmother walked down from the back of the auditorium to the front of the church. I don't think I've told you this. I don't know if I have. Well, I'll talk to you again. And she stood at the front of the church. Every eye was on her, wondering what she was doing. When she opened her purse and took out a well-worn copy of the Word of God, there was a Bible in the church after all. Because when they came to her door, she was hiding in the back room, knew they were after her Bible, and she hid it underneath her skirt. They never found the Bible. And that morning, she opened the Bible to Genesis chapter 1, and she tore out the first page and gave it to the first person, and tore out the second page and gave it to the second person, and went all around that church until everyone had one page of the Word of God. And my associate was 7 years of age, sitting on the front row of the church, and received Genesis chapter 15, and that's all she had for several decades. And she's about my age. We're both very young. And during that time, at 7 years of age, I found Christ as Savior. He found me in the Stone Church in the city of Toronto. While she had one page, all I knew was church Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer meeting, young people's Bible study, Bibles, pastors, churches, Bible colleges. I had everything, like many of you, most of you. And she had one page. Why should it be that I was born on this side of the Atlantic and she on the other? Why should I have everything and she have nothing? Trust God will challenge you this morning with missions. I've got one more thing to say and then I'll close. My time is gone. A story again from Bulgaria. It happened just a few months ago. We were in a place called Sandanski. Now, Sandanski is a new church. It's just year and a half old. The last time we were there, we took Bibles to them. They didn't have one Bible in their church. We find that everywhere, every year we go, there's church without Bibles. And we went back, and the crowd had about doubled in size. The service was held, if you remember, those of you who were there, the service was held on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Now, Pastor, I would say that if we held a service on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Temple of Prayer and Praise, it'd be lucky that you and I would be there. And yet the place was filled with people. And what we noticed especially was right along the front, there was a line of young people, 12 to 15. I've never seen young people pay better attention. They listened to every word, especially one little girl sitting right in the center. She was 12 years of age. She just was glued on the speaker. Everything that was said, every word that I spoke, she took in. Now, before the service started, I said to the pastor, I said, we're going to have an illustrated message, and I'm going to give away a Bible because I want to talk about the gift of eternal life, how you have to receive it. And I said, is there a man here that doesn't have a Bible? Oh, he said, there's all kinds of men that don't have a Bible. So he chose a man over in this section right here. I said, okay, that man in black, I will give him a Bible. And so during my service, I started to talk about the gift of God, and then I said, I've got a Bible I'm going to give away. I want to give this Bible to someone here today. This little 12-year-old girl just came alive. And she didn't say anything audibly, but I could see her mouthing the words, and she was saying, me, please give me the Bible. Her hands were out like this, sitting on the front row. I was so moved myself. I wanted to give her a Bible. But I told the pastor I'd give it to this man over here. So I followed through and I gave him a Bible. I'll never forget this little girl. When I went over there and didn't give her the Bible, she literally collapsed just like this. Her hands went down, her head went down, and the tears began to flow. And my wife was sitting on the platform. I'm not sure whether Pat, you were next to her, June, but you were there on the platform anyway. And my wife said, as soon as we get the service over, I'm going to go and give her a Bible. As soon as the service was over, my wife went down to this little girl and gave her a copy of the Word of God. And this little girl, she grabbed the Bible and she hugged it. And she closed her eyes and she began to jump up and down. Very, very undignified. But friends, sometimes you have to throw dignity out the window. She received the Word of God. And then she cried out to my wife and she said, I love you. I love you. I love you because you've given me a copy of the Word of God. I love you. And then she said this. She said, I'm 12 years of age. She said, I've never had a Bible. She said, I come from a family. There's no Christians in my family. I'm alone. And then she said, I promise you, I will read my Bible every day. Oh, what a joy, what a privilege on your behalf and behalf of thousands of others in Canada and the United States and Northern Ireland who promote our cause to be able to provide and give Bibles to people who want the Word of God. Let me say that morning, we also gave Bibles to every adult that was there that didn't have a Bible. But I'll never forget this little girl. And in just a few months, we'll be back there, and I'm sure we'll see her again. But why should it be, friend, that we have two Bibles? They can't even get one. They're begging, hungering for the Word of God. My word shall not return unto me void, that it will accomplish that which I send it to do. May God challenge us this morning with missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we've had of sharing the burden of our hearts with people who have become our friends, our supporters, our partners that love you and love missions. Thank you for this pastor and his heart for missions. I pray, O God, that you would speak to every one of us this morning, challenging us afresh and anew. You've been so good to us. We're so blessed. We have so much. And there are others who have so little, most of them nothing at all, thrilled to receive a New Testament or a Bible. Challenge us today, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, and some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle. Run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle. frustrated brother. See how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the lonely, the tired and hearts are blazing. So let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. Carry your candle, run to the hopeless, deceived and poor, and hold out your candle for all to see. Yeah. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle. Go light your world.